Tomorrow morning, a redacted version of the Mueller report will be released by the Attorney General, which means big chunks of the document will be blacked out, officially to protect sensitive information. And that's just fine with President Trump.
Well, I have great confidence in the Attorney General, and if that's what he'd like to do, I have nothing to hide.
But how do we really know what the DOJ is blotting out? For some answers, we turn to Tom Blanton. He directs the National Security Archive at George Washington University in D.C. I asked him first off about how the text is blacked out.
It's done on computers these days. They actually highlight texts that they think are still sensitive, and they zap them. And they have to, under the Freedom of Information Act, they have to put out to the side what exactly they're citing, what exemptions.
Do you know of cases where two censors disagreed?
Oh.
And what happens then?
On the wall at the National Security Archive office down at George Washington University, we have a piece of White House email that was sent to Colin Powell when he worked in the White House at high levels. And the two versions are almost mirror images in the sense that the top and bottom of one version are blacked out. The middle of the second version are blacked out, but the top and bottom are released. And they were declassified 10 days apart. The punchline, it was the same reviewer both times. I called him up. His name was on the document. What were you thinking? He says, well, there was probably something in the Washington Post sensitive about Libya the first week, so I had to cut that paragraph out. But the next week, it wasn't Libya. It was the Saudis or something, so I had to cut that paragraph out. And so you get completely opposite views. My point is just that so much of the secrecy really is subjective. Even the sources and methods of intelligence that are so well known in the world today, they're not real secrets. But the government's point of view is it makes a difference if we acknowledge it. Therefore, you can have it on the front page of the New York Times, but that doesn't mean we can't still black it out when we want.
So with the Mueller report, what would have happened if there had been disagreement about what to include and what not?
My bet is that the Attorney General would not have had the folks in the room who would disagree with him. There's a kind of a self-selection process among groups of censors. What we found over two decades of fighting the subjective secrecy is that the key to getting the most open version of a document is having multiple pairs of eyes from multiple bureaucratic locations take a look at it. There's an appeals panel that is of multiple agencies, and they overrule the original agency saying it was secret. They overrule them 70, 75% of the time. It's so subjective.
What about the rules or standards for redactions that we're using today? Have they been in place for a long time?
They change from administration to administration. The standards we have now in national security have been in place since Obama did an executive order, and his order overturned an earlier order that George W. Bush had done and dramatically opened up a lot of the national security world. On the standards for withholding informant material and law enforcement material, those have really been developed by the courts over many years. So there's multiple court decisions that lay out pretty rigorous procedures for what can be protected. I think the FBI has even won a court case saying that an informant's name from 70 years ago could still be censored from a today document because the plaintiffs couldn't prove the person was dead. There wasn't an obituary, there wasn't a death notice. And if you can prove they were dead, then they're still protected, they still get redacted.
If the standards, though, change in future administrations, is it possible that years down the line, some of these redacted passages in the Mueller report could be revealed to the general public?
Absolutely. It's like peeling an onion. We've gotten copies of high-level documents over the years through Freedom of Information cases where first version comes out, half of it's withheld. And gradually over time, I think the entire text will come out. And when people are doing the anniversaries decades down the road, they were more likely to have a complete copy of the Mueller report than we're going to get.
Do you think most of these documents deserve to be classified in the first place, though?
A lot of them do in the first place. The big argument is over how long they stay secret, how long they stay in the vault. And that's the big argument, I think, even with the redactions in the Mueller report. How really secret are they, and how long are they going to have to stay secret? pretty much everybody, even in the security business, would say that most classified documents can be released within a period 5, 10, 15 years. Only if it's like design of a weapon system that would empower some thug in some foreign country to really create danger for American citizens, then I think they have a basis for classifying that. Same thing with a, you know, some brave Iranian who walks into our embassy and wants to give us the lowdown on the Ayatollah's succession but asks for anonymity. Yeah, you probably want to protect that person's identity for as long as, you know, there's some danger to them. So there are some real secrets, and that's where I differ from people like Assange and even Chelsea Manning, who just kind of wanted to throw it all up against the wall. Nothing should be secret. I disagree. Things that would really hurt people, they should be secrets. Things that are bottom lines in a diplomatic negotiation, probably until that negotiation's done, that can be a real secret. But most of the classified universe does not deserve to stay secret more than a couple of years.
And we should point out that sloppy redactions have created a lot of problems, right? I think of the ability to lift up the black bars if you don't know what you're doing, putting the black bars in the first place.
I think that's going to be that's Attorney General Barr's worst nightmare. A couple years back, the Justice Department, under duress of a lawsuit, had to release this internal consultant's report. People had heard about it on the outside, exposed racism problems, discrimination problems within the Justice Department. The Office of Justice redacted it using a computer program, putting black blotches on. It comes out in the public. Somebody realizes, oh, that's just an Adobe Acrobat. Oh, I can peel that off. And they peeled off the black. And what was under there was all this embarrassing stuff about Justice Department employees complaining to their supervisors and never getting any justice out of it. So that's their worst nightmare. At the Central Intelligence Agency today, they print out the document with the black blotches and then rescan the hard copy to send it to us electronically. So you can see they're worried about that.
Many people will cry foul given the redactions in the Mueller report. Will there be lawsuits challenging some of the black dot sections, do you think?
I think there already are lawsuits. There are a number of Freedom of Information cases that are already in court. And those plaintiffs have some tools at their disposal. Judges have the right to look at a redacted document in camera, as they say, in their chambers. And that judge can decide for him or herself, was that redaction justified or not? A lot of times judges don't directly overturn a government decision. They just order the government to do another review. And then when you do another review, a lot of times you get a different result. The judges do have the power to push back dramatically. The judge just has to have a backbone.
Tom Blanton directs the National Security Archive. Thanks for talking redactions with us, Tom. Appreciate it.
A pleasure to be with you, Marco.